Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara.
Hey, hey, it's Fat Mascara here. I'm Jess.
I'm Jen. Welcome, everybody. It's interview day.
So, Jen, tell us about Dr. Joya.
I will. Oh, Dr. Joya Griffin. She's a pet dermatologist based at the Animal Dermatology Clinic in Louisville, Kentucky. She's an Ohio native. She graduated from Cornell University Veterinarian College. She also did her residency here. This is what's so exciting, in dermatology before becoming a board certified dermatologist on the American College of Veterinary Dermatology. I did not even know this was a job. Did you know this was a job?
I had no idea.
You'd think we would, because you have a long-haired cat. I have a hairless dog, two dermatologically in need pets. Well, anyway, I discovered her because I watched the show Pop Goes the Vet with Dr. Joya on Nat Geo Wild. It's still on right now if you want to watch it. It's a little bit of like the pimple popper vibe, but also with pets. And she is a delight. So pet dermatologists talk about or work with pets who have skin, hair, nail, and allergy issues. And so that show gets a little gross sometimes. I'm just warning you if you're not into that kind of thing. But Jess and I wanted to have her here to talk about some of the skin and hair issues that can arise with your pets, but also how our beauty practices affect our pets and some of our personal care products. We get questions all the time from you guys about which products that we use might be bad for our pets. So we threw them to Dr. Joya, who knows what she's talking about. Of course, we wanted to just meet her after I saw the show because she just seems like so much fun, and she was fun. So everybody, let's welcome Dr. Joya Griffin to Fat Mascara.
Thank you so much for coming here, Dr. Griffin. I'm going to call you Dr. Griffin, right?
Well, for the show, they say Dr. Joya. You can call me whatever you want.
Okay. All right. Okay, Dr. Joya. Okay. Thank you so much for coming, Dr. Joya. I'm so happy to have you here. We're so happy to have you here. Jen and I have been like talking about this episode amongst ourselves. Like, we have our own little side questions we want to ask you. And then our listeners, we're going to be throwing in some listener questions here. But this is a really different kind of show for us. We're going to be talking all about pets, pet dermatology. How did you become a pet? Well, you're a veterinarian, but how did you specialize in dermatology for pets?
Yeah. I think that veterinary dermatology is definitely a little known specialty. And that was one of the goals that I had with the show, is just to bring, you know, some exposure to the field. And I basically got introduced to the field when I went to vet school, because we had our own pet. Her name was Gizmo. She was a stinky, crusty Lhasa Apso. And she lived in an e-collar for over a year before I was able to take her to school with me. And the first service I went to was the dermatology service. And they were able to make a huge transformation in her life. She was able to come out of her cone. She lived a happy and healthy life for 9 additional years and grew a beautiful hair coat. Mm-hmm. And I could see firsthand what that meant for me and my family. And I wanted to be able to do that for my patients. So early on, I kind of started studying more and more about dermatology and really paying attention to that, those classes when I was in school. And then after you graduate, a general practicing vet can start working right after school. They don't need to do any extra training. But to go into specialty medicine, you have to do a 1-year internship followed by 2 or 3-year residency. So I did that. I was lucky enough to get back to Cornell for my residency. And then after completing several different endpoints during your residency year, then you sit a 2-year board exam, or excuse me, 2-year, that'd be horrible. A 2-day board exam, a 2-day board exam, which you have to pass that test, and then you can become a board certified dermatologist. So that's kind of how it all began.
Wow. So Cornell has an amazing veterinary program, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I've heard of it. Not that I am so in the trenches there, but I've actually heard it has an amazing program, as it's Cornell. But so tell me, like, how does a veterinary dermatologist differ than a regular dermatologist?
Like a human one.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think we do a lot of the same things, but dogs and cats do have a lot of different skin diseases than what humans get. But some of the things are the same. In general, I think, like for my own self, I go to my dermatologist for acne. Dogs can get acne, but it's a little bit of a different disease than what we get as humans. And so that's not a thing that I treat very commonly. Like, I don't just treat dog acne, but instead I treat a lot of skin allergies, which in humans, I think they call it eczema. And a lot of people suffer from that, or atopy. And dogs are affected by atopy, and so are cats and horses and other species. And namely, the patient would have itchy skin that would lead to sores and crusts and, you know, hair loss, different infections on the skin. And so that's what you as a pet parent would notice, is that your dog or cat is scratching and then they start getting hair loss and then they start, you know, having sores on their skin. And so I do a lot of that. And then I also treat internal diseases that affect the skin. And with the skin being the largest organ in our body, a lot of things that are going on internally and illnesses will manifest in the skin. And I also treat autoimmune diseases, which is really cool. I just diagnosed a piglet with an autoimmune disease, which is insane. I've never seen that before. So
wow.
I'm super interested in like trying to figure out if I can help this little piggy.
So I was going to ask you, you know, when we were talking about, you know, Jen and our pets, you know, I have a cat, Jen has a dog. But what other animals do you treat? You just mentioned a pig.
Yeah, I treat everything. In residency training, and as a veterinarian as well, you're trained to be able to treat multiple species. And so I have the ability to treat anything. But for the most part, on a regular daily basis, you're seeing dogs, cats, and I live in Kentucky, so we see quite a few horses. And then, of course, like pocket pets. So that's pretty common. You know, rabbits, guinea pigs, things like that. But I have started seeing a little bit more.
I've never heard that term, by the way.
Pocket pets. They're little creatures.
I've never heard that.
Little small animals.
I was like, marsupials? Pets with pockets? What's going on?
I mean, generally, I think that term is like small pets that live in cages.
That's what they call it in the biz.
Hamsters, gerbils. Yeah, it's kind of our term in the business.
A pocket pet.
Okay. A pocket pet. Yeah, they don't actually go in your pocket, but they could.
Yeah. When you were in veterinary school and you were learning all the different, to treat all these different animals, is the skin, and this may be a very basic question to you, but is it the same? Like, you're able to treat a horse, but a pocket pet, but a snake, like,
yeah.
Is the skin, the anatomy the same? Like, why are you, I trust you here, doc, but like, are you, why are you able to really treat the skin?
I would say furred skin is pretty similar. So like dogs, cats, the pocket pets, reptilian skin is different because that's more scale, you know, so different species do have different types of skin, but a lot of the same principles that you would apply to a dog or a cat, and sometimes even a human can apply to other species as well. They do have very different diseases though. So reptiles in general, most of their skin problems are because of husbandry, which is how the pet parent would house or care for the animal. So they have a lot of issues just related to improper handling and care, as opposed to like dogs and cats. Some of that stuff is more genetic and age related and those kinds of things.
As you're talking, I started thinking, you know, we've talked on the show when we talk about, you know, dermatology for humans, that there is a shortage of dermatologists in the United States. You know, it's like for every X amount of people, there's only one dermatologist, and that's been a problem and created like a market like for like teledermatologists, that sort of thing. With animals, I just have to wonder, this seems so specialized, about how many dermatologists do you think there are for animals in the United States? Do you have an idea?
I do. Our College of Veterinary Dermatology is only around 300 people, so in the entire country. So it's a pretty small specialty. Wow. In the city of Louisville, there's two boarded dermatologists, and you know, I book out pretty far. We have some satellites as well. So I work in Lexington, and there is not a full-time dermatologist there, or in Evansville, Indiana, my other satellite. So we book months and months out there because we're only able to go a couple times a month. So there is definitely a shortage. So hopefully exposure to the show will get more people interested in the field of dermatology, and hopefully we'll have you know, more availability in the future.
Do people come to you directly, or is it just referrals from veterinarians?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do both. So we have referral basis where the general practitioner will send a case to us, or people will just hear about us from word of mouth, internet searches, from watching the show. So we've had, you know, quite a few people make appointments now that they see that a dermatologist exists through our television show.
So what's a typical day like for you? You already named like 12 different animals, and then this pig that came in who had like a mystery disease. Is that usual? Like, you never know what's going to come through the door? Is it just like, here we go again with the dog with fleas or something,
you know? right. I mean, we don't know. I mean, there's some days where it is typical pets that you or I would own, dogs, cats, maybe a rabbit. And then there's days that someone brings their potbelly pig in. So it keeps it really fun and varied and exciting. And I love to see the rarer species because it makes me have to put my thinking cap on a little bit and figure out, you know, how I'm going to treat these animals. Can they tolerate certain types of medications? You know, those kinds of things. So Twinkie was a very special little piglet.
Oh, Twinkie. I didn't want to violate the patient doctor privilege and ask about the specific patient, but since you offered up Twinkie's name,
Twinkie.
We wish Twinkie
in,
the pig
veterinary
well.
Medicine, usually a lot of pet parents are fine with their animal's name being used. And she is on my Instagram page, and she's super cute. Her dad is the most adorable man. He rescues piggies. And he rescued a piglet and its mama, and mama was pregnant again. So he ended up with another litter. So he just had this litter of six piglets, and one of them, unfortunately, has this terrible skin disease. She's covered from pretty much snout to tail with crusts.
Oh my God.
Wow. Now, is that one of the tougher mysteries you've solved? Because I imagine there's a lot of that sort of medical mystery work going on in your practice.
Yeah. And I love that word mystery because I think it is true. You know, we do a lot of in-house diagnostics. You've probably seen on the show, we're all collect samples, look at them under the microscope and try to figure out, you know, are there external parasites or infection that I need to treat? And then when it's not obvious, then we have to go forward and do biopsies. So this little piglet, we did collect some skin samples and sent them out to the dermatopathologist to try to figure out what's actually causing all the lesions on her skin.
Oh, wow. And it's an autoimmune chronic condition, I imagine.
It's looking like it's autoimmune, which is really weird. And I don't even know if there's any papers out there on this. And she, her biopsy came back with showing a couple different features of things. So I'm going to treat the more obvious diseases and then see what's left over. And unfortunately, she may be a pig that has to go on some immunosuppressive medication. So
I bet you see some of your patients stay with you for years, right? If they have these, like this pig you're going to see again and again, do you develop like a rapport with them the same way, you know, I imagine a doctor and humans would.
In human medicine or even in general practice medicine, like your local veterinarian that does your, you know, whole wellness care for your pet. That's one of the things that I love the most about dermatology is the relationships that I'm able to make. I went into this field because I loved animals, but I'm also a people person and I get a lot of energy from my pet parents. And I like to know, you know, where their kids go to school or what they do on the weekends or the trip that they're going on. And, you know, most of my diseases are chronic conditions. And so I do see these patients over and over and over again for the management of the issue. And we do develop close relationships. And I have actually been with my practice for 11 years now, and I'm starting to have patients that are just passing away from old age. And it's really sad to lose those animals that you've, you know, grown to love, but it's also sad to lose the relationship with the pet parents, because unless they come across another, you know, dermatologic nightmare, I probably won't see them.
Like you don't want to have to see them again. You mentioned Gizmo, your pet from a while ago that you took care of. Do you have pets right now?
I do, yeah.
In your house?
We have a lot of kids and a lot of pets. I have 3 children and 3 animals. We have 2 dogs, a 70-pound mutt breed named Magic, and then we have a 20-pound Lhasa Apso. I'm a little bit of a collector. I find a breed that I like and I stick with it. So I have my second Lhasa Apso, who's named Guri. And Guri is, he's also allergic, but nowhere near what our family dog was. So he's on immunotherapy, which is allergy shots, just like some people might take for allergic disease or like rhinitis and, you know, cat allergies. People go on allergy shots. We do the same thing in animals. So he's on those. And then this summer we got a new kitten named Donut, and Donut is about 9 months old.
Who named Donut? I feel like one of your children was involved.
I think it was the kids. I think it was a little bit me. The crazier the name, especially food names, are my favorite. And his breeder name was Duncan. And so we just thought Dunkin' Donut would be cute.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. Donut. So we had a lot of listeners writing because they knew we were going to have a pet dermatologist on. And so I have a couple like just questions and situations for you. But as you were talking about your pets and how much you love them, the first question, I just have to ask this because I see this like more than you would think in New York City, be the dog park and there'll be people that dye their dog's hair, like, you know, or paint their nails.
Yes.
How do you, as a doctor who's like, this is your specialty, how do you feel about that?
Well, I paint my own nails, so I love it. I think it's really cute. It's usually little terrier dogs or, you know, foo-foo dogs that'll come in with their nails painted. And a lot of our patients come in with like little sweaters and clothing, and I just think that's so adorable.
Okay with that.
Oh, I love it. Fancy bow ties. And I don't dress up my current pets because my big dog is wild and my little dog hates clothing. So if you put him in a sweater, he gets clothes paralysis and he'll like go and sit under a chair and feel embarrassed that you put him in something. So Halloween was always a big time for us to dress him up and he would literally crawl somewhere so he could be hidden because he didn't like the clothing. So.
Oh, poor thing. Okay. But like health-wise though, it's not bad for them to get their nails painted or whatever.
No, the nail painting isn't, there shouldn't really be any issue with that. As far as like the hair dyeing, I mean, that's a little extreme. I mean, you see a lot of people who will do like poodle, you know, dye poodle hair, and there's even competitions where they grow their hair coat out really big and then cut designs into their hair coat and spray paint it. As long as it's non-toxic, you know, it's probably fine, you know, and it's not creating issues, but we don't see a lot of that in Kentucky, but we do see definitely the bows and the clothing and the nails.
Well, you've got to come to the dog park in New York.
A lot of
bright colors, pinks, purples.
Yeah.
My old next door neighbor had 2 little dogs and they looked like they should be in like the Harajuku district. They had all this amazing, crazy color hair and It was cool, but I did wonder about the health and safety aspect for the dogs. But okay, you're given the green light. Okay.
As long as it's non-toxic.
As it's non-toxic. Thank you for that caveat. Okay. So we, you know, obviously Jen and I see a ton of beauty products every day, but like, you know, it's not unusual for us to get like, you know, a delivery that looks like it's a really beautiful luxury product and it's for an animal. It's for, you know, it's a dog bath product.
All the time.
Yeah. It's a doggy shampoo or even, you know, like wipes for the little dog paws, special soaps. And even, and I'm kind of like jumping forward a little bit because I'm really skeptical about this as a cat owner, even products for cats, which I feel like cats, like they are self-cleaning, you know, ovens. Like why... Right. What is your whole thought on this? Do we need this kind of product?
I think a lot of the over-the-counter products that claim to, you know, add nice fragrance or soft coat for your dog or cat, I mean, I think those things are fine as long as they're not irritating to your pet's skin. And I would say the average dog and cat doesn't need anything super fancy or special. You know, the biggest thing as a pet parent is to, you know, make sure that their nails are clipped, you know, frequently, so they're not growing too long. And then like typical grooming. So if you have a long haired dog, those are dogs that generally need to be groomed a few times a year, at least to keep their hair coat, you know, clean and maintained without matting. But as far as you using like a wipe at home that has a fragrance in it, you know, to clean the skin or clean the paws after you come in, I mean, those things are okay. You know, you probably don't necessarily need something super fancy for your dog. But it makes us feel good. And I think sometimes those things are nice because of the fragrances that they have.
Now, what about cats? Because I'm always like, come on, like cats, there's so many videos of like on TikTok of like cats in a bath. And I'm like, I feel like this is doing a disservice to like the cat species because most cats don't like to be in a bath. Most Maybe these don't. Cats on TikTok like to be in a bath. So now I'm seeing like cat products, like people like trying to put cats in a bath. Cats don't want to be in a bath.
The average cat does not want to be in a bath. There are some that can be bathed and they like it. And I would say if you had, the only reason that I really see to bathe a cat is if it's a cat that poorly grooms itself. So a lot of times these are cats that get a little chunky.
As it came out of my mouth, I'm like, exactly, doctor. Fat. Correct. Ding, ding, ding.
It's so true. They do. I mean, you know, if it's easier.
I'm thinking of myself dunking my cat's ass, who crapped all over herself.
I know. And they get like clumps of poop around their tail. I mean, those cats, they need to be groomed if they're not doing it themselves. And sometimes cats, as they get older, their skin and their hair start to get a little flaky. Like those are cats that can be bathed, but they don't all love that. And so we do have therapeutic products that are medicated that you can apply as a mousse, which most cats will let you foam a little mousse in your hands and rub that on the coat without having to immerse the cat in the bathtub, you know? So there are different products that are helpful.
I was not aware.
Yeah, that don't include actually putting your cat in the tub. So
now here's another, there's a really funny video and thank God this cat didn't claw her face off, but Jennifer Garner has this video of her cat who is a long-haired cat, like my cat, who got some poop on the back of her butt or his butt. And this happens with long-haired cats. And I go through this with my cat and she has this beautiful kind of like farm sink. And so she's able to like dunk the cat like in a very kind of streamlined way. Cause like if I have to deal with my cat who won't go near water, it's like a whole like, you know, it's like a skit, you know?
Yeah.
I have to like run around the house and try to do this. But she dunks the cat in the water and it's like, you just can't get cats in the water like this. But anyway, with cats and like cleaning them and any kind of products, I've always been extremely wary of anything that has an essential oil. Is this a myth or no? Essential oils, pets. Like I hear it's a big no-no.
So tea tree oil or Melaleuca oil is poisonous in cats if they ingest a large amount. So because cats are grooming animals, it's not the safest product to use in cats.
Okay.
You know, so there are certain products that can be poisonous like that. Tea tree oil is very common in over-the-counter topical treatments because it's antimicrobial. Okay. And if you guys are familiar with MRSA, that really resistant bacterial infection that people get on the skin,
yes,
dogs and cats can get a similar canine version of a methicillin resistant staph, and tea tree oils is useful for that. But I don't use it a whole lot because there are other products that you can use, but you'll find that a lot in over-the-counter, and you should use it with caution in cats for sure.
Interesting. Now, what about candles? Candles have a lot of different oils.
So yeah, like our
products. Like to burn candles, yeah, around pets. Besides the fire safety issue, just like right. that's the obvious, you know, no, you know, 911 moment.
Yeah.
But like the fumes.
I think for the most part, in a pretty well ventilated place, a burning candle is not going to be much issue to a pet, but I have heard of those diffusers that diffuse, you know, a room with essential oils, that sometimes those can be harmful just because the oils are so strong, and certain, especially like the Melaleuca oil in cats, like that's the one that comes to mind that's a little bit, could be dangerous in a cat. But the candles should be okay.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset, so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area, so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good, whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence. Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves
works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done. All in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
Any other surprising human products that like we should know, like be careful with your toothpaste around your guinea pig or like, you know, we have all these personal care products that we talk about all the time on the show, like
cleaning products.
I never really check everything to make sure it's dog safe because I assume he's not going to go near it if it's not good for him. Mm-hmm. But any others you've seen in your practice that you worry about?
Contact hypersensitivities can occur. And that's where like if you put some sort of cleaning product that may be harsh or maybe okay for us, but if a dog walks directly on that afterwards, sometimes they can get irritation on their foot pads and around the feet. Mm. I would say in general, if you're going to use any kind of cleaning product, just let it dry. And once it dries fully, the pet can go back on to that surface again. But like, you know, bleach or things like that can be irritating to our skin. And it would be expected that it could be irritating to a dog or cat's skin as well. There are a lot of things in a house that are poisonous to animals, but most of those are if they ingest them. So, but like, for instance, you know, some of our cosmetic products, like I use a salicylic face wash. Yeah. Those types of products are generally very strong. And even for human skin, you know, if you put that on your skin initially, you have to kind of get used to the you know, how drying and irritating that product may be. And for an animal, their pH is very different than ours. So using our cosmetic products on your dog or cat, if they had a skin issue, is very discouraged because you just, a lot of times it's too harsh. And even though some of the prescription pet products may have those ingredients in them, it's usually at a much lower concentration than what we would put on our skin. Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. I noticed on your TV show, like there's a lot of bumps and nodules. Yes. And even like, you know, anybody who's a pet owner knows there's bumps under the skin of their pet when they're petting them. How do we know? We've had dermatologists, human dermatologists on the show explain when a mole needs to be checked out by a specialist or like a bump. Mm-hmm. What about for a pet? How do you know when it's time? Like, okay, this is something that needs to be seen.
Yeah, I think honestly, anytime that you see something or feel something on your pet that's bothering you, it's always a good reason to at least bring it up to your veterinarian. Even if you're just there for a nail trim or for the routine vaccines, just let them take a look at it so you can have their eyes on it. I would say that 90% or more of skin tumors in dogs and cats are benign, but if a tumor is growing very rapidly, and I tell my pet parents, that means if it's doubling in size in a month, if it starts to discharge fluid or pus, if it ruptures open, if it is a mass that's bothering them. So sometimes tumors are small, especially in little fluffy dogs as they get older. They get a lot of kind of warty looking masses on their skin. And they are generally benign, but they can be in areas where the dog will bother them. So they'll scratch at them or they'll chew at them. They'll try to bite them off. And then that creates infection and pain. So if it's bothering the pet, just have it taken off or at least looked at. And some of these tumors can get secondarily infected. So then you end up with infection on the skin because of a mass that's there. So, but if it's getting very big, if it's changing in color, if it used to be soft and now it's hard, or it used to be hard and now it's, you know, fluid filled, those are always good reasons to just have a veterinarian take a look at it and decide, you know, if it's something that should be taken off or not. And one thing, you know, for us, I mean, my little dog had a few bumps on his skin that I was watching, and I was pretty confident that they were benign. But when I had him under anesthesia to have his teeth cleaned, I just went ahead and took those off. So that's something that you could ask for as well, you know, as a pet parent, is just say, hey, I'm having this routine dental cleaning or this routine other procedure, or even elective procedure, like say they're getting their knee done. You could mention, oh, well, there's also this bump there that's been bothering me. Could you take it off? And in my opinion is, if you're worried enough to take a mass off, you should just go ahead and send it out and make sure that it's not cancerous. Even if it looks normal,
right,
it's still a good idea to know for sure.
That makes sense to me. And I'm also curious about, like, speaking of like outsourcing and when to go to the experts, a lot of people outsource the dog grooming, or even sometimes with a long-haired cat, if there's matting issues, they might outsource that. How do you find a reputable place? Like, do you have any like tips for people? Because there's so many, and there doesn't seem to be like a licensing system, at least here.
I think most groomers do have to have some training and licensure. But, you know, the biggest thing that I've always done, and some of it is also, if you have a certain breed and it's supposed to look a certain way, the skill level can vary from groomer to groomer. So if you have, you know, I don't know, a poodle and you want it to be in a perfect poodle cut, a lot of times it's just finding a friend or someone else that has that same breed and the dog looks good. So you already know that they know how to cut the dog. In the
same with like a hairstylist, right? With your hair.
I mean, honestly, a lot of the groomers that I've found locally for my own pets have been through word of mouth. And, you know, it's even my, you know, my pet parents that come in, I say, oh, your dog looks great. Who grooms your dog? You know, so a lot of it's just asking, and then, you know, figuring out what works best for your family. So there are mobile groomers that are around, and for some dogs with high anxiety, that works really well for the groomer to come to your home and do the dog there. Or there's facilities where, for instance, like our dog goes in for an appointment, and so he's groomed. He doesn't have to stay there the whole day.
Can we talk about cats a little bit? Because while, you know, I actually have sent my cat many times to get groomed, she has long hair. I've had two long-haired cats now. Long-haired cats are a whole different story.
Yeah. Yes, they definitely can be. I've had my last cat, actually both of my cats are long-haired. Maybe I have a thing for long-haired cats too, now that I think of it. But my last cat, it wasn't that he got matted. We tried to keep up with that by, you know, brushing him on a frequent basis, but his hair was so fine and kind of rabbit-like that it would shed everywhere. And in order to keep the peace with my husband, when we first got married, I would shave him into a lion cut.
Yeah.
And so he would just have the tail and the head and the feet left, and the majority of the hair on the body was shaved. And so that helped keep a lot of the hair down in the home. And of course, if you have a cat that's prone to matting, that would be very helpful too.
But the skin is an issue. When we got both of our cats, they were older and they were a rescue situation. The mats were very bad, and
yes,
the skin underneath. And I think a lot of people don't realize, I mean, you certainly realize, but like if people don't take care of the mats, there's a problem underneath with the skin.
Yes, absolutely. So what happens is, and this can happen in, you know, long-haired dogs as well, if you don't keep their coats up and they're not being brushed or cared for properly and their hair grows too long and starts to mat, it will actually trap moisture to the skin, and they can end up with bacterial infections and open sores underneath the mats. So usually when it gets that severe, it's better to take them to either a groomer or to your family vet and have them do a clip and clean for you, because you trying to remove it will probably create more trauma to the skin than having a professional do it.
Yeah. She needed both of them needed medicated baths.
Yes. Yes. and a medicated bath and a cat is safe for both parties.
Because cats
like to slice and dice when they're upset about water. So
for sure,
that keeps everybody safe.
Yeah.
I promise this isn't like me and Jess just asking you every question about our own pets, but like other people have asked these as well.
No, I love
it. So I have one, and it does pertain. That's Wolfgang back there. I don't know if you can see him.
No, let me see him.
He's got his cone on right now.
Okay.
He's on the pillow. Wolfgang.
I see him.
Oh my God, he just popped up. He heard his name.
He is hairless. So when I first got, when it's winter, he's like a pinky beige. And then in the summer, I noticed last summer, he got like dark brown and freckled. And
he's
so some people-
a sweet tan.
Yeah, he gets tan.
Is it a Chinese crested?
He is not. He's part rat terrier. And the rat terrier gene, I did one of those like gene things. And I guess there's a special type of rat terrier that's hairless and he's got the recessive gene for that. He's a special creature. Anyway, people noticed this on Instagram. Of course, everybody's giving you their opinion. He needs sunscreen. So we asked our vet and they really didn't know if he needed sunscreen or not. What's your opinion on that?
I do think that hairless animals, if they spend a lot of time in the sun, that sunscreen is a good idea because hair in animals is protective. And that's what keeps a lot of them from getting sun damage. The quintessential breed that is more prone to skin cancer and little sunspots is the American Staffordshire Terrier and pit bulls that are very thinly haired and light colored hairs. So like a white pit bull or Staffordshire Terrier, they get little sunspots because of sun exposure. And so in California, a lot of our pet parents will buy these sun suits that are sun protective little outfits that you can get that helps to keep their skin protected. And they're really cute.
That's adorable. So, a sun suit.
I hadn't thought, like with the kids now, like instead of dealing with sunscreen, a lot of parents just put the wetsuit or the thin one on, like a sunsuit.
Exactly. And they do have those for dogs. If you did use sunscreen, you typically want to apply it every couple hours between the hottest hours of the day, which generally is between 10 and 4 p.m. And I usually recommend a waterproof SPF that's 30 or greater. There are products that are available that are marketed towards animals, but for the most part, they contain the same ingredients that you or I would use. So you do want to be careful if it's a zinc-containing sunscreen, if it's in an area that he could ingest a lot of it, because high doses of zinc in dogs can cause anemia. But it would have to be fairly high doses, but just to be safest, it's better to avoid zinc-containing sunscreen.
Is that anything to worry about? Like, say I lube up in zinc sunscreen myself and I have a licker, like, in my family, a little dog that, like,
it would. I think once, and zinc is, like, that's so thick, right? Like, it's more of a barrier type of sunscreen, so it doesn't exactly get absorbed into the skin. So your pet could potentially ingest quite a bit off, but I think the likelihood is probably pretty small, you know, the amount.
You know, there's,
ingest,
like, those pets out there that have, like, a weird...
Obsessive,
like there's the one
compulsive.
Pet that just, yeah, a little bit. I can hear one of our listeners being like, oh, you don't know Rufus. He's like, he gets really into licking.
Yeah. I mean, I think if that scenario is the case, then I would probably just avoid it and use a different
Be
type
careful of
sunscreen.
The zinc. I didn't know that was bad for dogs. Okay. So one more Wolfgang question, then we'll move on to generics here. He also gets a lot of blackheads.
Whoa.
Yeah, he gets blackheads. I mean, he has no hair, so I can see everything. And sometimes when we're having cuddle time, like if there's one that's like works its way to the surface, I'll like squeeze it out. He does not seem to mind. Like it feels like a very much like the pack would groom him if he had a pack kind of thing. Is that bad for him? Should I just like keep my hands off Wolfgang?
It's impossible if you're a picker to not pick things off of your pet. So I totally understand the guilty pleasure in that. As long as you're not creating a lot of inflammation. So just like us, if you go to your esthetician and she's like squeezing and it's not ready to pop, then you can create a lot of inflammation and irritation there. So, you know, it's probably best not to do it, but if their blackheads are easily coming out, then I think it's fine.
Oh, they're easy and they're very satisfying, but I'm going to, I try to curb my...
It's so hard. It's so hard. If he gets a lot of those blackheads, and a lot of it's because he is hairless, you could try a medicated shampoo that has benzoyl peroxide in it. Those are really good for clearing out blackheads, or something that has salicylic in it. And there's lots of brands that are out there, but there's a couple that I like.
I mean, this is what I do for humans. I would know exactly what to do, but you know, when it's a pet, that's why you have you here to tell us what's good and not. I also have to ask, there's a tendency when we're humans, like we have a scratch, we put on some, you know, ointment or a skin protectant or, you know, whatever it is, a petroleum jelly. If a cat, a dog, a guinea pig has a scratch or an irritated spot, should you put something on it?
Yeah. I mean, I think if it's, you know, say they scratch themselves on something or scratch themselves, you know, through grooming or something like that, you can use, you know, just clean the area with a mild antibacterial soap, just like you would use. And then you can leave it alone. Or if you feel like you need to put something on there, you could put Aquaphor or Vaseline, another petroleum jelly on there, or a triple antibiotic ointment is fine in a little focal area. That totally works fine.
I really am glad I asked you then, because he's got like, yeah, like dry spots from the ice and the snow, and he has to wear his little snow suit. So I was like, I would really like to put some Aquaphor on here, but I'm not going to do it without asking if I'm allowed. So.
I love Aquaphor. It's a great barrier cream and it's moisturizing. A lot of dogs in the winter will also get like that dry nasal hyperkeratosis where they have, you know, you guys have probably noticed that before, just like this frondy, scaly, thick, yeah, skin on the nose. And Aquaphor is great for that.
Before we finish up, are there any other surprising things that people should know about their pets when it comes to their skin, their fur, their nails? Also, I want to ask you, some people, I see dogs sometimes just kind of like itching a lot or doing, you know, that yes. thing where...
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about allergies.
You know, where they're just, you know, taking their paw and like kind of smacking their little chins.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not a dog owner, but I wonder, or even with a cat, I say... When is too much too much?
When is too much too much? And that's an excellent question.
Thank you. I say get thee to a vet.
Yeah, I think, you know, we always ask the pet parents on a scale of 1 to 10, how severe is your dog, with 10 being very severe? And if you think that, you know, your dog only scratches maybe at a 1 or a 2, that's probably normal. Just like us, like everybody has a scratch here or there, right? But if they're spending a good proportion of their day scratching and it starts to seem like they're uncomfortable, or if they're developing hair loss, redness on the skin, an odor to the skin, and, you know, they're up in the middle mm-hmm. of the night scratching, then to me, those are animals that probably do have something going on, whether it's that they have an underlying allergy or, you know, some sort of infection or autoimmune disease. You know, usually there's something else that's going on.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. And cats, I mean, they groom, right? But they shouldn't groom to the point where they have bald patches on their skin. So if they're grooming and then your cat has no hair on its belly or patches of hair loss on the front legs because it's just grooming and grooming, then that is considered over-grooming. They should never groom to the point of being bald.
Over-grooming. It's like related, but not, but it's still related. It's like my cat's breath smelled like fishy, but both times. My cat Janetta, RIP, and my cat Farina, both of them had fishy breath when we first got them. And I was like, fishy, ooh, like, you know, fish breath. And I just thought it was kind of like, you know, they had that cat smell. And I was like, wait, no, this kind of stinks.
Yeah.
And I sent, that happened with Janetta, brought her in immediately needed that day, 13 teeth pulled. She had such bad mouth decay. They were like, this is a situation. And the mm-hmm. same thing with Farina. When we got her, she had that breath. I knew something was up and it was the same kind of situation. And it's like, I think a lot of people think that like, oh, it's dog breath or it's like funny, fishy cat breath. Like they mm-hmm. love, you know, cat food, whatever. And it's like these things that we take for, not for granted, but these false associations with like cat scratch or dogs mm-hmm. have dog breath. Like, no, it's about like looking deeper and like thinking that's actually not normal. I'm just glad that you've said that. So
yeah,
naked belly, always scratching.
Do you call those hot spots also on cats?
They can be hot spots if they start to have an open sore and the cat created mm-hmm. it. So if she's, you know, licking to the point where you have like an erosion on the skin or a little red raspberry area, that's where it would be considered a hot spot. If they're breaking out in rashes, cats are very interesting creatures because when they have allergic skin disease, they develop these plaques on their skin and this whole complex called eosinophilic granuloma complex. But cats do things with allergies a lot differently than dogs. And so they are very interesting creatures, but they'll develop spontaneous sores on their skin that the cat actually didn't cause, but it's related to an underlying allergy. So it's kind of cool, not cool for the cat, but it's a very interesting thing that they do when they have skin issues.
Wow.
Before we let you go, we have a little speed round, but I realized we talked a lot about cats and dogs. What's like the most interesting? I know you've seen a pig recently. What else have you seen in your practice?
Well, on episode 2 of the show, I see a 24-pound king cobra. Wow. That was probably one of the most breathtaking animals that I've ever treated in my life. So cool. That was super fun. I ended up taking some masses off of his skin and being able to suture reptilian skin. I mean, it's so just cool. Really cool. You have to kind
when
of
you do surgery, I'm always
scales.
Like, oh, yeah. That, it's, and then she's like, take out things and weigh them. I am always one to
the
guess the weight.
Really fun. Yeah, it's like that puppy surprise game, right? You're like, how many puppies are in here? It's like, how much does this weigh? The snake was a really amazing animal. I also, we see a few of the zoo animals. And about a year ago, I got to treat a polar bear. Wow. That was super cool. We also have a jaguar that we treat at our zoo in Indiana. And any of those kind of neat exotic species is always super fun. So,
wow.
Is there another specialty for like exotic veterinarian dermatology? You know, like with a regular veterinarian. So I like.
Correct. There's no subspecialty for dermatology and exotics, but there are exotics veterinarians. And so they go on to do special training, usually after vet school, to do zoo and wildlife animals. So it's a super niche-y type of specialty.
Still, how fun to treat a polar bear. It's very cool. Okay, yeah. Before we let you go, we have a little speed round, which we like to do at the end of our show. So I'm going to take you through them.
Okay.
What's the best pet name you've heard at your practice?
That is a hard question. Waffles? Twinkie was good. I liked Twinkie.
Twinkie was a pig. What was Waffles?
Waffles was a dog. Waffles is a dog. Anything that's like super cutesy and food named, I think I love.
I like that. Okay, what's your favorite TV show other than Pop Goes the Vet?
Favorite TV show? Oh my God. Okay, my guilty pleasure television show is Big Brother. I love it. I've seen almost every season. I love Big Brother. I want to be on there. If you're listening, Big Brother.
I was just going to say, you would be great. But all right, let's put this, you already have your media reel. It's your TV show on Nat Geo, so they'll see you. And, you know, bring you on.
My family says I can't disappear for 3 months. So I'm not sure if they'd let me go for that long.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that long. That's funny.
If you're good, it is.
Well, right. If you keep around.
Right?
What's your favorite beauty product for yourself? And please be specific.
Okay. I love, can I pull it out? Because I can't remember the name of it.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. I would love nothing more.
Since I'm traveling, it's right here in my bag. It's my eye cream. It's supposed to help with fine lines and wrinkles around the eyes and puffiness. Lumiere?
And
can you see it?
It's called Lumiere.
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 Oh, and do you like it? Do you think it does all that?
You know, I think so. I love it.
I will say Neocutis is one of those brands that dermatologists that come on our show, human dermatologists, often recommend. So I feel like you have good taste.
Good.
Dr. Joy, if you've had a stressful day with your patients, the pets or their human owners, who I'm sure are also stressful, how do you like to relax at the end of the day?
I love to, so my day is really hectic, right? So I come home and we're very busy, and then I come home and I come straight home to momming. And then my husband comes home maybe around 8:30, you know, several hours later. And, you know, one of the things that I love to do is to work out when I get home. I feel like it's a really good stress reliever. And then finally, when the kids go to bed, I hole away in the bedroom and I listen to either an audiobook or I watch an episode of something brainless. And I feel like that helps me kind of decompress at night.
And bring it back down to like normal.
Yes.
What audiobook are you listening to right now?
Right now I'm reading a book called, I think it's called The Mother-in-Law. It is The Mother-in-Law. And it's by an author called Sally Hepworth. It's an Australian book. I mostly listen to my books because if I were to try to read at night, I would fall asleep. So I'm a big Audible fan, and I'm in a book club, and I can't always attend the book club, but I always try to stay up with the reading, and we have a lot of fun going over these books, and they're nothing serious usually. They're a lot of mysteries and fantasy.
What are you doing when you're listening to the audiobook?
I wash my face and then, you know, I stare at myself in the mirror and decide how, you know, what things I accomplished well and didn't accomplish well. You know, that moment where you're just like looking at yourself like, wow, that was a day. Mm-hmm. And then I just like kind of crawl into bed, listen to the Audible book while I'm trying to empty out my email and, you know, get ready, like simmering down.
Simmering down.
Simmering down.
Okay, last question. If you were an animal, what would you be?
I would definitely be a house cat. I've thought about this many times. I mean, house cats have the best absolute life. Like, they're well taken care of. They can just lay wherever they want. They can come and go. They can love you when they want to. When they don't want to, they can, you know, go somewhere else. It's the best. Cats are the best. I'm also a Leo, so I think that I am a house cat already.
Okay. I like you went with both like personality wise, but also like they get the, I mean, they're living the life. They don't even have to feed themselves at this point.
The best life. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I learned a lot. Thank you so much for coming on Fat Mascara.
Thank you so
much. Thank you for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.